Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Red, your lunchtime catch-up on all things Liverpool FC, not so much your daily reminder of the Reds being top of the league, but we are joint top of the league in Gary Neville's world, second in the league in the real world. And we have gotten great news today. Michael Edwards has agreed to return as head of football operations, not just for Liverpool, but for FSG. Now, to me, that points at the likelihood, the probability of a move to a multi-club model, which is something that's been rumoured around Liverpool for quite a while. And I would hope we will see movement on this within the next 12 months, potentially more than one additional club being purchased by the owners. I could see them moving for two, one in South America, where they've long been linked with moves for other clubs. Cruzeiro was one club they were linked with. I think Liverpool Montevideo. Liverpool Montevideo would be really good, purely because of the name. But also Uruguay would be a fairly centralized base to operate from in South America. And you could, from there, look to bring in elite young talents from Argentina, from Brazil, from Chile, from Colombia. And if Paraguay, Peru, or any of the other countries produce anybody that's worthy, you bring them in as well. So a South American base. Julian Edwards is rumored to have been working in South America for FSG for the last few months on and off. He's definitely working for FSG in some form or other, contracted, not directly. But that could be very interesting, to get a club in South America and maybe give him the reins of that club under Michael Edwards' watchful eye. It looks like Richard Hughes will be the sporting director of Liverpool. He's someone that Edwards is close with. And that's fine. He's very good at the day-to-day, very good at implementing processes, very good at connecting the departments and taking the noise away from the manager, making sure that the information the manager gets is what the manager needs and nothing more. I would then hope to see us move to purchase a European club. And I had been thinking Portugal, but I went through the clubs in Portugal that might be worthwhile last week or the week before maybe. And there wasn't, of the clubs you'd want, they've all sort of been taken over in the last 2 years by mega rich people who are unlikely to want to sell. So perhaps France would make sense. Sochaux, the former club of Ibu Kanate, have been in financial dire straits for a while now. Maybe they would make sense. And then by doing that, you have a European base. And that makes things a lot easier for bringing players over from South America. Easier to get work permits in France than in the UK. I think this could be the dawn of something big for Liverpool. I think getting Edwards back is enormous for us as a club. He was absolutely vital, right along with Klopp, in building the team that won the Champions League and the Premier League. He was the one that convinced Jurgen on Mo Salah. Him and the data team are the ones that really pushed for Alisson, pushed for Virgil, pushed for Sadio, pushed for Ginny. Now, obviously, Jurgen did a lot of work on those as well. That's not to say it was all Edwards and co. But I do feel like Edwards, with full control and a very good manager, I think can be as good for the club as Jurgen with a mediocre sporting director has been, if not better, in terms of building. Now, obviously, what Jurgen does as a manager, as a coach, is very special. But there are great coaches out there that we can get this summer. There is Ruben Amorim. There is potentially Xabi Alonso. There's Zidane. There's De Zerbi. There's others. You know, there's definitely options for us in that regard. I think it makes it a lot easier for a very good manager to become a great manager when they've got a great structure around them. And bringing Michael Edwards back is the first sign that we're looking to build a great structure. I've said since the day it was announced that Jurgen was going that I thought Edwards would be the one they'd bring in. He obviously turned it down, quote unquote, in the immediate aftermath of the announcement that Jurgen was going. I said then, I think it's optics. I think it's timing. He doesn't want to be seen to be jumping straight back in. The reason he left the club was a falling out with Jurgen, was a differing of views. Jurgen was the reason he wasn't willing to change his mind. Now Klopp is out of the way. Edwards is happy to come back. I mean, that's always been obvious that was going to be the case, that if Jurgen left, there'd be no stopping it. He maintained a strong relationship with the owners throughout it all. There was never an issue between him and the owners. So, yeah, getting Edwards back, bringing in Hughes, that fills two of the three big spots. Obviously, the final spot is the biggest one. It's the manager's seat. I think you can throw most of what's been said out the window. I think Edwards is going to start fresh. He'll work with Will Spearman. He'll work with whoever else. But the idea that somebody was a front runner is probably no longer relevant because Edwards will have different views on certain things. I think you can also throw out most, if not all, links to players because, again, there'll be a different way of doing things now. I see Mike McGrath has linked us to Pedro Neto. Everybody knows how much I like Pedro Neto. I'd love us to sign him. But again, will he fit into what Edwards wants? Will he fit the template of what Edwards is going to do? Probably not. Especially, and here's the thing, like Pedro Neto, for all intents and purposes, is a winger. Xabi Alonso and Ruben Amorim don't really use wingers. I know Alonso uses Jonas Hoffman, but he doesn't play him as a winger. And we have Salah for that role. And Amorim plays two behind one, and he'll often use former wingers in those roles. But again, we have Salah, we have Dominic, we have Harvey, we have Gakpo, we have Diaz. We're fairly well stocked in those roles. Now, under Alonso, Neto potentially could play as a left wing back in a similar way to what Frimpong does on the right, Neto could do on the left, because we would have Trent in the Grimaldo role, except on the right, rather than on the left. So that could be interesting. But again, maybe we just throw all of that out now. I'm just looking at Solskjaer. They were relegated. They finished mid-table in the second division in France last year and were actually relegated for their financial issues. So that could well be a club that is worth our while looking into. Historic club, they've got a really good ground that was renovated about 20 years ago. It's in decent nick, probably wouldn't need a whole lot of work. So there wouldn't be big overheads there. Might be one to look at. What else do we have for today? Obviously, Liverpool fan Cillian Murphy winning the Best Actor at the Academy Awards. It's the second most important thing he's ever done in his career. The first being refusing to take a picture with Gary Neville, which Gary still seems upset about. That's good. This is Anfield. Have a few pieces up about Edwards. They have one piece up about the second half, or the game against City, but with a focus on the second half. But just highlighting some of the numbers from Virgil and Endo. Virgil completed 77 of 79 passes at 97% accuracy. 6 of 7 long balls, won 3 of his 4 tackles, had 4 interceptions and won 5 of his 8 duels. And Endo, it was outstanding. 59 of 62 passes, that's 95%. Won 6 of 7 duels, had 6 recoveries, 2 interceptions, and created 1 chance. Him and Alexis were absolutely tremendous together in that midfield. Now, Jurgen has said he believes it's the best second half we have played against City. And he says, we've never really dominated them like that. I do kind of disagree. I'm thinking of the 4-3 at Anfield. 17-18 season, I'm almost certain. Ox, Emre, and Ginny in midfield. We absolutely dominated them, ran all over them, were 4-1 up, and then Dejan Lovren did Dejan Lovren things and gifted them 2 goals. I would say we dominated them more that day than we did on the weekend. But worth noting, it's only the second time we've had a real midfield without passengers in an Anfield game against City. And we should have beaten them. Like, we absolutely should have beaten them. And the more I see the chances that we missed, the more I see that incredible penalty that wasn't given, the more annoyed I get. Some of the excuses being made for the referee are just laughable. I note that Kyle Walker was given a platform on Sky to laud the referee and say that, he showed his experience and his character, that he could have crumbled. Well, he did crumble. This is the issue. He did crumble because it was a stonewall penalty that he didn't give Kyle. And I note that Kyle Walker didn't say he didn't think it was a penalty, because he didn't want to lie on national television. Kyle Walker knew full well that was a penalty. A stonewall penalty. And we were robbed of it. And, talked yesterday about how we were robbed of a penalty against Arsenal. We were robbed of the perfectly fine goal against Spurs. And someone pointed out, We were also robbed of a penalty away to Chelsea on the opening day. Now, we didn't deserve to win that game. We didn't deserve to beat Chelsea on the opening day. They outplayed us for the majority of that game. But Nicholas Jackson did slap the ball in his own penalty area with his hands in an unnatural position, and it wasn't given. So, you know, for all this shite about us getting favourable decisions by VAR, I'd love to see what these decisions were. I genuinely would love to see what these decisions were. Perhaps they were correctly called offsides. Maybe. But I mean, it's not just this year that this has been an issue for us. It was last year as well. Remember when we went to the Emirates? And the referee had three big calls to make and got every one of them wrong? Well, the ref had two big calls to make. The first one, the VAR messed up by not having the right angle to look at Saka being offside. But Gabriel Jesus dives to win a penalty and Diogo Jota is denied a stonewall penalty when, again, there's slapping of the ball by Gabriel. Yeah, the 14th of January 2018, I suppose they did dominate possession that day, but we just ran all over them and bullied them. Karius, Gomez, Matip, Lovren, Robertson, Ox, Emre, Wijnaldum, Salah, Bobby, and Mane. Ox opened the scoring. Sané equalised. We scored three in 9 minutes, Bobby, Mane, and Salah. And then Jurgen took Emre off for Milner, I think. Yeah, on 79. And they scored on 84. Then he took Salah off for Lallana. And they scored on 91. Lovren at fault for both of them. Then he brought on Ragnar Klavan for Sadio Mane. And they almost scored again because of another Lovren error. But Aguero missed. The midfield that day were unbelievably good. The three lads just were so dynamic, so powerful. The midfield on Sunday was outstanding as well. And I've seen some people have a go at Dom because he wasn't at his best, but he was still really good. Like, he was still really good. I know he had a couple of shots that didn't go the right way. He missed the headed chance from the Harvey Elliott cross. But he was still really good, and that just seems to be overlooked. On AnfieldIndex.com, then, Jurgen Klopp addresses Liverpool's Premier League title charge. There are a couple of pieces on Michael Edwards. There is a piece about the injuries and who might be back for the United game. Ibu is the big hope there, but I wouldn't play him regardless. I'd play Kwanzaa. Liverpool journalist piles the praise on Reds. I'm guessing that is David Lynch. It is indeed David Lynch with some big words for Harvey Elliott. Podcast wise then, we have the Monday Lynch Time, David Lynch on the City game with Dave Davis. And then there is a new Scouted, which is myself and Carl, basically looking at the second legs of all the European contests and then glossing over our one against Sparta because, well, what was there to say? We beat them 5-1. Neither of us have watched their game in the interim. We didn't know a whole lot about them to begin with, so we just looked at the other games and then predicted a team for our game. And that's it. That's all I have for today, folks. Michael Edwards is back. It is very exciting. Very, very exciting. And I think the future is very bright for us. When you look at the squad, you look at the academy, Jurgen is leaving behind a goldmine for who comes next. He really is. He is leaving behind a club that's absolutely thriving, but has the potential for much more because of the groundwork that he's put in. And that will be his legacy. Jürgen's real legacy can be the next 10 years, not the 9 that he's actually served at the club. It can be what happens afterwards. In the same way as so much of Bill Shankly's legacy at the club is what came after he stepped down. Under Paisley, under Fagan, under Kenny. All of that came off the back of what Bill Shankly had built. And I think we could potentially see not the same level of success that we had in the late 70s and the 80s, but I think we could have more success in the next 10 to 15 years than we've had under Jürgen because of what he's built, because of the foundations he's left, he's leaving, because of the players he's brought to the club and the players he's developed. And also, obviously, because at a certain point, a certain bald man in Manchester will leave, and they may leave the division, but he will leave and they won't be the same. And with him gone, as long as we've done what's needed, we are the best positioned team to dominate English football. Without question. Without question. We are the best positioned team to dominate English football in the post-Guardiola era. Right, I'll see you tomorrow. Take care. Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this Anfield Index show. Please be sure to subscribe to our channel so future podcasts find their way to your device automatically. There's nothing quite like fan engagement, and we'd love to know what you think of anything discussed on this show. The best way to get in touch is over on our free Discord community, where both podcasters and listeners debate the hottest LFC topics 24/7. Sign up free now at anfieldindex.com/Discord. You won't regret it. You can also follow us on Twitter at Anfield Index and find us on Facebook by searching for Anfield Index. Oh, and before you go, we'd love it if you could leave us a 5-star review on your favourite podcast app. It only takes a couple of seconds, and it means the world to the people who create these free shows.
Sports Social Podcast Network.